This is the Ton Report. I'm your host, Ton Trung. I recently drove about 160 miles to a crawfish farm near Church Point, Louisiana, because this week on the podcast, I'm taking a look at what it takes to get crawfish to the masses, and probably more important for everyone involved, the price of crawfish. There's a dirt road leading up to the farm. Just to the right was a large pond where crawfish are usually raised and then caught.
So you're looking at a crawfish pond that they fished this morning. There's one boat, some of it they push, some of it they go with hydraulic boats.
As the owner showed me around, he pointed out something unusual on his farm. He's been raising and harvesting crawfish for about 40 years.
We caught probably 3 inches of rain yesterday. If you had
to... Yeah, there's pretty muddy here.
Yeah, if you had to measure around here, at least 1,000 acres as far as you can see, these roads ought to all have crawfish in the puddles, crawfish in the ditches, crawfish in the grass. It's not that hot. Haven't seen one yet this morning.
So usually you'd have crawfish crawling here, right?
Crawling everywhere.
It's crawfish season in Louisiana, a time when crawfish producers would normally be catching and selling their crop, and city folk like me would be buying and eating their crawfish. But this is not a typical season for the crawfish industry.
My house has crawfish ponds all around it. I'm surrounded. I have window units that drip. I can go outside on my front steps and look down and see crawfish looking back up at me. Every year. Not this year.
Can I ask you, when you noticed that, like, what did you think?
It's scary. You don't know, am I seeing this alone or is Joe down the road? And because what people need to realize is right here, if you make a 5 mile circle and get 10 people, you're going to have probably 6 different ways that people prepared for this crawfish season, from double crop rice to single crop rice to flooded, not flooded. It's all the same.
When I drove here, I saw, and obviously I'm not a farmer, so forgive me, I saw places that look like this. There were ponds, a lot of fields. Am I to assume that those are crawfish farmers as well?
This is probably the most saturated area in the state, right here where we at. It's not the only, but you're at the heart. Acadia Parish into Jeff Davis, Vermilion, north of here into Evangeline. And we just weren't seeing any crawfish.
He can speak on behalf of a lot of crawfish farmers. It's part of his role.
My name is David Savoy. I'm the president of the Crawfish Promotion Board. We are out near Richard, Louisiana, but kind of between Eunice and Church Point. We farm 1,600 acres of crawfish.
Does this farm have a name?
We'll call it my dad's name, Levin Savoy. Most of this is dad and family. You know, my brothers and sisters, and but I do all of the day-to-day stuff.
We'll get back to David's farm and some of the surprising things he told me about Louisiana's crawfish industry, which is so vital to the cultural identity of the state. But for those who may not be familiar with crawfish, let's first get a sense of why relatively small crustacean is such a big deal, and why there's been so much attention thrown on the economy built around it.
It's part of a Louisianian's spring. I mean, we have two seasons. We have football season and we have crawfish season in Louisiana. Like, everything that we do in the spring, from birthday parties to graduations to grandma's 100th birthday party, is going to involve crawfish. You know, it brings joy. There's never a sad person at a crawfish boil. It's always fun. It gets families together. It gets friends together. Everyone gathers around a table. And it just is part of the culture here. It's part of who we are in Louisiana.
That's Lainey King.
I'm the co-founder of the Crawfish App mobile app alongside my husband, Ryan King. And we founded a mobile app back in 2017 that lets users find all the live and boiled crawfish prices in their area. We have over 1,600 businesses listed on the app now throughout the Gulf South. and over 700,000 downloads. So we're rocking and rolling. We compare the app often to Gas Buddy just because Gas Buddy got very popular with those outrageous gas prices we had the last few years. So our app is Gas Buddy for crawfish. You search for either live or boiled crawfish, and it's going to filter by the lowest price in your area. It gives you all the information on that vendor, the address, the phone number. You can tap on the vendor and hit the map and it'll take you directly to their door. But that is exactly what the app does. It shows you the lowest price crawfish, who has them, and how to get there. The reason we can have an app for this is because prices change every week during the season, sometimes even more, sometimes twice a week. So the fishermen and the farmers, you know, get the crawfish and they set the prices. They sell them to the wholesalers who then distribute them to the retailers. And we, a consumer, buys them from the retailer.
Make a note of that, because the price of crawfish is really what this all boils down to. Generally speaking, I think the average person who buys and eats crawfish believes it's the farmers or producers of crawfish setting the prices. But you'll hear David Savoy's take on that a bit later. And it may surprise a lot of people. Let's get back to Laney, though.
So let's say crawfish 1 week is $5 a pound, the next week is $4.50. Well, that 50 cents a pound goes a long way because, you know, we're buying a sack of crawfish to boil. A sack is about 35 pounds typically. So 50 cents times 35 pounds, you know, that can save you $17, $18, just that 50 cent drop. So if you use the crawfish app, you might be able to find a dollar cheaper in your area. You know, a vendor who's got a ton of supply, he's trying to get rid of them. So he slashes the price by $1, $2 a pound. You're looking at savings of, you know, $35, $70 for one sack of crawfish. And really, a typical boil in the spring is going to be at least a couple sacks of crawfish, because you're going to have, you know, everybody and their mom at your party once they hear that you're boiling crawfish. So yeah, it's very important. I mean, you can save up to $100 just by checking the app and finding a vendor in your area who's selling them a little bit cheaper. And really right now with the way the economy is, price is everything to people. When we launched the app, we made sure to include a filter by review because some people, the taste is more important, the quality. You know, you want to make sure when you're buying 35 pounds of crawfish, you're not buying one that half the sack is dead and you're wasting your money. Even if it is the cheapest, some people just don't want to travel all the way across their city. So you can also filter by distance. Well, what we're seeing now is that price is the filter that's being used almost 100% of the time. I mean, that's what's getting people. The way the groceries are priced these days and everything else, people are looking for a good deal.
Good deals have been hard to find this crawfish season. The brutal heat in Louisiana last year and the drought that brought the Mississippi River to record lows also devastated the crawfish industry. Losses this year are estimated to be more than $140 million. Louisiana's governor recently issued a disaster declaration for the crawfish industry. Because of a low supply of crawfish this season, the price of crawfish making it to market is high. Too high for many people.
I mean, for about a month, they were sitting at $13 a pound. Crawfish have never been four digits. I mean, all of our graphics and everything that we use to post prices, we had to edit to add an additional number to the crawfish price. You know, we've never really had to post anything higher than $7.99, $8.99 a pound. And that's usually at the very, very, you know, early part of the year. So $13 a pound is just outrageous for crawfish. We've gotten them down on average around $7.99 a pound right now. So that's better. It's reasonable, relatively speaking, for 2024, but it's still just completely outrageous for the average crawfish consumer. It's unaffordable. So this year is like no other. It really is. We're not being dramatic. You know, people are accusing us of being dramatic, not us, but the industry as a whole, of purposely elevating prices and all these different things. But Mother Nature really played a huge part in this disaster that we're experiencing. And the governor, even as of this morning, you know, was able to issue a disaster declaration for the farmers, really for all the different roles in the industry, the farmers, the retailers, the wholesalers.
There's still time left in the crawfish season. And Laney says prices can come down, but don't get your hopes up.
They're about as reasonable as they're going to get, you know, so if you want some crawfish, this is what you're going to pay. Hopefully they'll go down a little bit more before Easter. You know, Easter's kind of the Super Bowl Sunday of crawfish season. That's typically when they're a good size, they're a great price. It's the biggest sales day of the entire season for everyone involved. But you're going to have to shell out some money this Easter if you want to feed, you know, your family with crawfish.
Back at David Savoy's family farm, he showed me some of the crawfish they were able to catch that morning.
We're in the cooler where we bring the live crawfish in and put them either for shipping out or when we're processing.
So usually, like, it'd be wall-to-wall after one morning?
Yes.
You'd be looking at, you got about 15 sacks on this cart. The cart would be full. You'd have 25 or 30 sacks, about 40 sacks on a cart. And you might have two carts, 80 to 100 sacks, depending on the need and what we were doing. You know, here, well, we're processing wide open or not.
Where will these sacks go?
Everywhere from Texas to down towards New Orleans.
This is where it all starts?
Yep, right here.
And just a heads up, during my conversation with David, you may hear some noises in the background which sound like an old cannon being fired. David told me it's to scare off a certain type of bird.
I had a very bad problem with these black cormorants. It's a diving bird, and they eat the fish out the trap. They eat the crawfish in the field, they eat the crawfish in the traps. So we're just trying to keep them out of the field.
So those booms are scaring them off, supposedly?
If you can get them up in the air, it keeps them out. Get up in the morning, we go turn them on, and then 5 o'clock in the evening, I usually cut them off.
But what is that?
Like, it's a butane gun. It's regulated with a charge of butane, and then you have a striker just like you have in your oven or whatever that it hammers down and sets it off.
Clearly, I don't farm for a living, so that's why I'm asking you these questions.
You may also hear Red and Abby, David's two dogs who followed us around the crawfish farm. When it got its start, the farm produced rice and crawfish. But David says decades ago, they went all in with crawfish.
We went strictly crawfish. When rice got hard to produce, more expensive, wasn't profitable, we got into crawfish. Crawfish was very profitable. And we kind of followed the wild goose, as they say. And now I'm realizing that we need that rice production, not so much for us, but to get the material back in the soil.
David says that material is biomass, or the remains of dead animals and organisms that end up in the soil and ponds where the crawfish feed on them. There are many factors in raising crawfish, and like any crop, weather conditions can change the course of everything.
Give people an idea of where we are in the crawfish season, because I think for people like myself living in the New Orleans area, we think of crawfish season as crawfish eating season,
right,
and buying season. But for you, where are you in the season? Where are you when it comes to the production side,
right,
of it in the
season? We keep better records than most people think. We're not dumb farmers. And we find, looking at our records, that we are running a month and a half to 2 months behind a normal year. It looks like the production is starting to pick up some. You have to remember, I still have acres where I haven't caught a crawfish.
And you have 300 acres here.
Well, right around here, I've got 400 and something right here at this farm. And I still have some acres that I don't catch any crawfish. I can talk about the ones where they caught good today and where the catch has increased. And that's what people tend to want to hear and tend to want to see. But that's not the whole story, though.
So let me go back. When you said you're about two and a half months behind where you should be in the season, translate that for me. What does that mean? Like,
that
why
means,
are you behind?
Why are we behind? They say because of drought. I don't think it's just drought. I think it's we had record-breaking high temperatures, 104 to 106 degrees.
Oh, it was scorching last year.
Day after day after day. And I think that affected them as much as it being just flat-out dry.
Now, give people an idea, why does that affect the crawfish when crawfish, you have temperatures like that?
That crawfish has to go into the ground, bury, for the eggs to come out of her back of her head and for her to deposit them on the tail. Then they start to produce, to develop, and develop into microscopic little crawfish. If she goes down in that hole and there's no water or no moisture, they can survive on very little, but if there's absolutely no moisture in that hole, they're going to die.
And the heat, because it was so hot last summer, also, it drove them down further?
I don't know if it drove them down further or for some reason, biologically, I don't think they can stand that 104, 105 degrees, besides it being dry. And we're seeing that either they dug deeper or...
The heat did something to them biologically?
Yes, I think that's what happened.
Can I ask you plainly, like, how are you doing this? You're like, how are you? I want to ask about your finances, but like, where are you when it comes to
It's been a struggle. It's been a great struggle. I'll tell you. I got 5 men right now. I normally have 10 or 15. That tells you right there, because I can't. It's no use to try to go harvest where there's nothing. I have a few more men coming in next week, and I'll just have to see from there. You know, very hard deal when that's what you depend on for your livelihood. And we were trying to do things to get it going, but you can look here. Look back across. See those cypress trees?
Mm-hmm.
No leaves on them, huh?
No.
They're probably dead. Do you know they're on the side of a pond? There's more that went on, I think, than just a drought. And I've asked LSU that, and they don't know. They're not sure where to go because they have nothing to base anything on. That's the other thing. We don't know.
The one thing David said we should know is getting crawfish from the farm to the consumer takes a lot of work.
Right now, what we fight more than anything else is labor cost. It's a labor-intensive occupation. I've had people come from USDA and the federal people say that this is the most labor-intensive thing they've seen short of the clothing industry, that we're as intense labor-wise as they are.
Why is that?
Nothing is really truly automated. The
you can't put a machine to replace what people are doing here.
Right, and people would like to try, but there's nothing to replace what we have here yet.
On top of raising crawfish, this farm also processes crawfish, which requires more labor.
I think we're getting to the point where we're going to have, at times, enough crawfish to process. It's just, you have to look at the price break. Right now, if I had to peel crawfish, they would be $25 a pound. Can the market bear that? I sure don't want $25 a pound meat in my freezer.
Well, I think people, in city folks are hearing $10, $12 a pound. They're getting sticker shock, but $25 a pound I don't think anybody could afford that.
That's right. And the thing people need to understand is we know that. We're quite aware of the sticker shock that goes on out there. First off, this was a poor man's food, where it come from. People ate it. It was, like I say, a poor man's food. Crawfish was eaten by people who were catching them in the ditch, per se. Right now, we're priced out of that. I don't know whether we can fall back into it. As bad as things were, it didn't get any cheaper for us to put a crop out there. You know, our labor, we have to pay what the government says we got to pay. So our labor has gone up every year. And they work hard. I'm not complaining about the labor, but our cost, you know, you should have had a break in a year like this year in a normal everyday hourly wage, say a manufacturing company. Oh, we're not making as many cars this year, so we're going to go down on the rate we pay because we don't need as many. Well, you can't, the government doesn't allow you to do that here. So we're kind of saddled with that because we use immigrant labor. It's kind of a catch-22 because they are extremely hard workers. We love them to death, but still the rate keeps climbing up.
It climbs up, and I'd imagine that if you used, quote-unquote, domestic workers, you're looking at something even higher.
You can't get it done. I'll be the guy out there. Domestic people don't want to do this. I'll say it. I might get railed for it, but...
Well, you got to be honest. I don't see too many, quote-unquote, American people hopping on the bus to come work and peel shrimp and work
That's
in
right.
fields.
Yeah, they surely don't want to come out here when it's 90 degrees and cut fish. You know, that's the nastiest job in the whole world. I don't blame them. I don't want to do that either. And these guys, they'll do it and never complain.
You bring that up, and what comes to my head is the workers, too. I know that with fallen production on your part, it'll affect you. It hurts financially, but they're also relying on you for work.
Right.
So what happens to them? Like when you said you had usually 15 guys here and now you're down to 5, what happens to the other 10?
Yes, and if I can even get them, and I'll tell you more than that, what bothers me is they're all family. It's all brothers that come, or cousins, and been hiring them for 20 years. I mean, they're good, good people. And you don't want to see them hurt, but everybody's hurt. We want to produce as cheaply as possible. People think right now, I see this stuff on Facebook, and it drives me nuts. People think we're trying to abuse them. We're faking this. First off, we can't fake it because we got to sell them every day. So I can't hold back. I've got to sell these crawfish every day.
Because they're alive.
It's a live product, so it's very hard. You know, and I've gotten to the point, I don't answer anything anymore.
On that topic, I mean, you mentioned what people are saying and seeing on Facebook and on the internet. And just from my small perch, I mean, I see that the governor is putting out this kind of letter to ask assistance from the federal government to help the crawfish industry. I know the ag commissioner here in the state of Louisiana has done the same. I know people are very upset because they've paid high prices for crawfish. From your side, from the producer side, give us an understanding of what's happening in the industry, like a real look at it.
Okay, what first thing you have to realize is before I put a trap in the water, I've invested all of my money. And I'm not knocking any part of this industry. We need it all. But the guy with the buy dock invests his money when he buys that sack of crawfish from me and his infrastructure. Mine's right there.
In that pond.
It's the nets, the labor, the water. The water this year was $200,000 of electricity.
Because you had a drought.
Because we had a drought, and you could pump and pump and pump. And that water well right there ran for 4 months without stopping.
That's your well right there?
Yeah. It ran for 4 months. And it's a brand new well, so it's not an old well that's wearing out. It's a tremendous amount of water. We have 20,000 plus traps. All of that they have to go through them. They have to make sure they're good. So everything we touched last year was horribly expensive. And then the labor has gone up. It gets very, very hard to keep profit in it. And regardless of what people think, we got to have profit, man. If we don't have profit, we can't
What's
stay
the
in
point
business.
If you
that's exactly right. And that's like a curse word on social media, you know. But all of these people are working for a living and they profit in somewhere.
Can you put a finer point on that? Because what I see, again, on the internet and on social media is that the crawfish industry is looking at $140 million in losses. But what does that mean for somebody like you who has invested money into this work? Like, what are your losses?
It's very hard to say yet because we have not
finished
the season. Right now, we're probably at 30% of a... And numbers, percentages can lie. I'm a math man, and I can make those percentage numbers lie to you all day long. Am I catching 50% of what I caught last year just where I'm catching? And that's what people say, oh, it's at 50%. The whole thing ain't at 50% because I can still bring you to some ponds where I'm not catching anything. We're probably, I'm going to say, I hadn't looked at the numbers closely, but I'm going to say 40, in that 40% range. But as it goes in the season, the dollar amount slides. Money is what, pound-wise, don't mean a lot to me as long as I'm getting the money. And so what does that mean to us? Say 50% of a normal year, that's pretty much what we're looking at. And if we can stay in it after that, we're doing good.
So does that mean that's also 50% less money that you're getting?
Yes, that means exactly that. That's it's not only 50% less crawfish, it's 50% less money to us. And what people need to realize, they talk about high prices. People need to realize you do not want to lose this industry in this state. And if you go too hard on it, you can look at shrimp, you can look at crabs, it's not what it used to be. And it's because people don't want to pay. People in this state are spoiled. I'm spoiled too. I buy shrimp all the time from the boat. It's a deal. It's a bargain. And I appreciate that bargain, but people, you know, they complain with the prices where they're at now, but they're still paying more money for everything else they touch. And we have to, too. We're not trying to take advantage of anybody. We're just trying to make a living.
Does it piss you off when people are demanding lower prices, when they say, I'm not going to pay, or I refuse to pay anything above $10 a pound for crawfish?
It makes me mad, but you got to be careful when you're saying that. And I'm not talking you, I'm talking that person out there on social media. Don't be so quick to show your ignorance, because that's what you're showing. People are talking about, I don't talk about nuclear science or rocket ships. You know why? Because I don't know nothing about them. These people talk about something they know nothing about, 90% of them.
Like, what irks you? Like, when you mention all this stuff, like, what are you seeing that pisses you off?
The biggest thing is that we're colluding to do this.
That somehow you're holding back on the production?
Yes, yes, yes. And if we were that good, crawfish would be $15 a pound. And, you know what I'm saying? If we were that good, because I was head of the Crawfish Farmers Association, and if you can get 25 or 30 people, crawfish farmers, to stick together on a subject, please tell me how you do it, because I told everybody we need Jesus Christ in this operation to attract, you know, a Jimmy Swagger to attract the right crowd. To get, you know, we're just not saying the right things, guys. And we've always said that. Me and my buddies talk all the time that we don't do a good job of delivering the message. We really don't.
Well, as head of the Crawfish Promotion and Marketing Board, like, what is your message now to people? Because as we talked before we started this interview, messaging to people, sometimes when you say, wow, we're really hurting, that can have unintended effects. But if you say, man, we're rolling in it and we're producing a ton of crawfish this year, that also can kind of hit you in the face as well, right?
Right.
Because
they didn't want the price lower. This product, the only thing I compare it to is like people that used to raise chickens. It was cheap. Cheap food. They could do it cheaply. This product started in the ditch, and people put nets out, and it was all free water. It was a poor man's food. Poor man's seafood is what it was. It's where it started. And that stigma, that attitude has stayed with people.
But for the people that, like myself, who can't go or don't know how to go catch them, I think that's your audience there, because usually we're the ones that will go buy the boiled seafood or even buy the live crawfish for the boils.
Right.
And we're the ones that are complaining and talking about the prices that ultimately come back and reflect on you. And what do you what's your response to them or us? We can't pay $12 a pound, or we refuse to pay $14 a pound.
And you know, we understand that. The biggest thing I'll tell people, and I have always said this, you want the cheapest crawfish you're going to buy? Come talk to me. Because I cut all the other middlemen off. It'll be the freshest. I'm not knocking anybody else, but our crawfish will be the freshest and the nicest crawfish you're going to buy. That's really the only solution I have to this industry. People we're inherently lazy. So nobody wants to come way out here. You came, you know how far it is.
Yeah.
You came way out here this morning. And people do not want to do that. I used to sell on Good Friday 150, 200 sacks. Not anymore.
Because people don't want to come here. They don't want the convenience of going to the store to get it.
Yeah, right. They go to the seafood market or they go pick them up boiled. But then they want to complain about it. There is an out. Go find your crawfish farmer and buy them fresh. Buy them direct. It's just like going by shrimp off the boat.
I guess we can't necessarily blame the quote-unquote middleman either, because they're doing a service in a way that's bringing something that, again, many people wouldn't want to drive up to near Church Point to go get great crawfish. I mean, they'd rather stay in their neighborhood or their city and get it. And so the middleman becomes the point of contact for them. And I guess they have to make a living, too.
Oh, yes. And we kind of beat on the middleman at times, because at times they are making a ridiculous profit. They don't have a big investment. But they do serve a purpose. You know, without them, I don't know if we can exist.
I think it's very easy for people who buy crawfish to blame the producers.
Right.
Rather than, and I'm not saying it all falls on the middleman, because the first reaction is not to blame the middleman for the markup or the prices. It's to blame the crawfish farmers for either A, not catching them, or B, charging more because it's harder to catch and there's fewer of them. But what I hear is it's generally just we blame the producers rather than
the middle
services that tend to get it to us and deliver it to us.
And one thing everybody needs to realize, we don't set the price.
Let's flash back to the top of the podcast when Lainey King laid out what I believe is the common understanding of how crawfish prices are set.
The fishermen and the farmers get the crawfish and they set the prices. They sell them to the wholesalers who then distribute them to the retailers. And we, a consumer, buys them from the retailer.
In David's experience, that's not how it goes down.
We do not set the price.
Who
of
does?
Crawfish. The middle guy. Well, by what he'll pay. Okay, so there is no...
But can't you set your price when you sell it? Say, like, you know the middleman needs it.
It's a live product. There's no... This could be a whole another show. And nobody wants to do it. I'll be dead honest with you. I've done this all my life. Harped about this. Nobody wants to attack that. I'm going to ask this question. And it can be on there or not, it don't matter. But I'll ask the same question I have asked every politician and every marketing person. If the price of gas in the entire state of Louisiana changed tomorrow morning by the same amount, you find that strange? You find that legal? How can it happen in this tiny industry? Okay, they dropped the price at the beginning of the week. Everywhere. I didn't do that. It's not a farmer around that did that. It's the price they tell us they're going to pay. And I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but that is what happens in this industry. It's like the guy with the shrimp boat. Other than if he's selling some away from the dock, he doesn't set the price. They tell him what they're going to pay.
I don't want to say it's scary, but I guess what's strange to me is that somebody that is so in tune with what it takes to get crawfish to people doesn't know who exactly is setting the price.
Oh, I know who, but I'm not saying, because when we did this years back...
So there is a person or
there,
body.
There is a body of people.
Okay.
Nobody wants to know that.
And nobody wants to reveal that, I guess, more specifically, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants... This is a very, very... Oh, we could go into a long... Because we fought this for years. Nobody wants to say who does it, yet when that buyer comes here, he's going to tell me price will be down by the end of the week. How you know that? You ain't got no, you got no skin in the game, dude. That's what everybody's telling me. And they won't talk to me much anymore, because I'll call them out on it.
So you know this body of people. Do you know why they're doing this?
Money, 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 money.
I brought some of this up when I was talking with Lainey. The Crawfish app relies on accurate and up-to-date prices, so she has to stay in contact with her sources in the industry.
I guess my question is, like, who actually sets these prices that we, the consumer, sees, ultimately? Do you know? Does anybody know? Because if a farmer doesn't know, how can we as
nobody
a consumer,
knows.
Nobody knows.
Oh, nobody knows.
How
it
weird.
Is the biggest joke of the crawfish industry. We call it the mystery man who sets the prices. I mean, my sources, you know, I've got all these different sources who I try to keep in touch with every week to figure out when prices are dropping so we can be the first to alert our users with push notifications and emails and all that good stuff. He calls it the docks. He says the docks have dropped prices. Who this person is at the dock, I'm not really sure. This mystery man at the dock sets the prices. I mean, I don't know who he is. No one knows. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. I wish, I mean, I would be like so famous. I could probably take this app to some crazy level if I could only figure out who this person was.
Well, not to give away proprietary information, but how do you get your prices for the Crawfish app? Like, how does that work? Like, how sure. can you, you know, figure out your alerts and then post them to your users?
Yeah. So, you know, we are retailer specific. Okay. So all the prices that we discuss are what consumers are going to pay. So I don't really understand, like you said, I don't know what the farmers are making. I don't know what the middleman is making, because, you know, typically there's a wholesaler who buys from the farmer who then distributes to a bunch of different retailers. I don't know what they're making. I could ask and find out. But my focus is on the retail price, what I as a consumer am going to pay to eat crawfish and what all of our users are going to pay. Of course, that data is, you know, very easily accessed by us and our system, and I can pull averages, and, you know, that's the thing that we do every single week, and that's information that we share. The drops, I just have farmers, retailers, just people who are like super heavily involved in the industry who I just use for that information. I really don't know where they get their information, but every time they give it to me, it's accurate. So I trust that when they say, Lainey, you know, get ready, prices are dropping a dollar tomorrow, and then they do.
I'm not sure how much this matters to the average person who's buying crawfish. Do we really care who sets the prices as long as we can afford it? Even if this mysterious body of middlemen was revealed, could we or anybody in the chain of production do anything to influence the pricing? David Savoy says probably not.
It's a long story of where this product comes from. It comes from in the basin, where it was poor people fishing it, selling it to people of a little bit more upper class, if you will. So they didn't care about them. And that has permeated this industry forever.
It's still that way now?
Still that way now, yes.
Do you think the body that controls this pricing is exploiting you guys?
Definitely. But nobody wants to hear it, see it, or do anything about it. Political contributions, the whole nine yards.
So why are you saying this now? And
I've said this for years. When we had the Crawfish Farmers Association going big, we preached this for years, but we had a little bit of stroke then. It's so hard to get these guys to come. As long as things are going good, they don't want to take the time. It's human nature. Things start to go bad, then they want to start up again. Well, you can't start an organization like that. You can't do any type of organization like that. And the bad thing is it gets the constant is the money and influence they have on politicians and boards. And I mean, you know, I'd almost ask you to turn the mic off, but
I can't do that.
Even the big farm organizations are so ingrained with the politicians that we've got a very hard uphill battle to fight.
Sometimes in my position, I have to play the devil's advocate mm-hmm. and say, this sounds like a conspiracy theory of somebody who's bitter about the prices he's getting for his product. How would you respond to that?
I've heard that too. It's like, okay, it's very similar. I have a situation right now. My father is in his last, he's dying. Okay, I'm the one that sees about taking care of him. It's not always easy to deliver the bad news to the rest of the family. We're a big family. This is the same thing. Nobody wants to hear that. It's easier when it's going good. It's going good. Nobody wants to hear that.
When you're talking about, you know, this ambiguous group of people who are setting the prices and the influence and the political connections, are you worried about backlash on you when you're saying this
yes.
stuff?
Yes. Yes. It happened last time.
What happened?
They don't buy your crawfish. Plain and simple. Those same big guys will not buy your product. And they call the people that are buying your product.
So why risk it? If you're you.
I'm 70 years old. Okay. How many years of this I got? I don't know.
And you just want people to know
people
the truth?
People don't want to know the truth.
I guess what they want is cheap crawfish.
Cheap crawfish, that's what they want. Yes.
Louisiana is the largest producer of crawfish in the nation. The crawfish industry brings in about $300 million every year to the state's economy. And its commercial history goes back to the 1800s. David told me, even with all the challenges in the current crawfish season, the overall health of the industry is strong. As president of the Crawfish Promotion and Research Board, David tries to keep his messaging reasonable, something the prices of crawfish this year are not. In Church Point, Louisiana, I'm Ton Trung for WWL Radio.